I should have sung bass this morning in the worship team, huh? I haven't talked this much all week. It's really rattly. I'm just now realizing that. So next week, I'm on vacation. And then the week after that, our district superintendent is coming to preach. So this is just one more kind of one-off to start the new year kind of message. And it's a weird one. And sorry, I'm talking about food again. We're all going to be hungry and ready to go. But it's called What's in Your Lunch? What's in your lunch? Trans fats, Austin says. Good. Well, not good, right? I think that's the... So, question for you guys. Do you remember your first lunchbox? Think for a minute. I honestly can't say that I remember mine. And some of you said, yeah, it's a bag. It was a brown bag, yeah. So for some of you, you went to school with character lunchboxes, right? Maybe something like an Evel Knievel lunchbox. How many of you are in that era? Evel Knievel was awesome when you were growing up. Yeah. Well, right, but... or maybe you went with a Cinderella lunchbox. Maybe you were really into the Disney princesses. Or maybe you had Yogi Bear with the matching thermos, right? My thought was always, once you put the thermos in, there's hardly any room for food, right? You better be taking soup or you're in trouble. Maybe you had Cabbage Patch Kids. That's kind of my era, right? Cabbage Patch Kids growing up, that was a big deal. Or maybe you're just a classic Superman. You know, it's funny, we advertise for all these things. How many of you, anybody have like a Knight Rider one? This thought just came to me. No? That's good, okay. Just the thought of a kid carrying a picture of David Hasselhoff to school every day. It's just kind of funny. Yeah, Incredible Hulk, yeah. All kinds of crazy lunchboxes, right? But what was on the outside was important, right? Especially if you're committing to a character, it's important because your parents aren't going to just buy you a lunchbox every week as your mind changes. So committing to that. But what was inside was even more important, right? This is where lunch, the bargaining, the bartering really began, right? You open up your lunchbox, you look at your carrots and your peanut butter and jelly and your applesauce, right? And you think, okay, I'll eat this, but if somebody else wanted, you know, maybe a peanut butter and jelly, I'm looking for the person that maybe brought Doritos, right? Or maybe they brought the single pack of Oreos. And there was always that one kid who everybody was jealous of, and he always had the pizza Lunchable, right? It came with a pizza. Can't beat that, right? A Capri Sun, the coolest drink ever, and a Crunch Bar or some other sort of candy bar. It was the best, right? Yeah, and everybody wanted to be that kid. They wanted to trade with that kid. They wanted to do whatever they could to get that Lunchable. From a young age, we're taught to want what other people have, right? From a young age, we're really taught that. It's ingrained in us. Oh, what do they got? I wonder how I could get that, right? It's no different as adults, right? We pass a really nice house and think, man, well, I bet I could do whatever they do to get that house, right? Or we see an awesome car and we're like, oh, I want that. Or we just know someone has a lot of money, right? We think, man, that'd be nice. We do the same thing, sometimes even in the church, but with gifts and talents, right? We just know somebody who's super talented at everything. We think, man, that'd be really good, really cool to be able to do a lot of the stuff they do or be as good as them at that, or I wish I could just, you know, walk up and talk to people and just, you know, make friends with everybody. I wish I could be that person, but we get envious of all these different things, and it starts at that young age. Frank Sinatra is famous for, well, singing. Let's not get it twisted, but this is a quote that he had. It says, he who dies with the most toys wins, right? Now, this has been an ingrained thing in our society for a long time, because Frank Sinatra has been, he's passed a while ago, right? It's been, yeah, so and even years ago, he was focused on the toys, right? And I think he got it a little bit wrong. It's, He who dies with the most toys dies. Right? Yeah. No, wins, just dies. And then the toys sit there, or they go to your kids or somebody else at an auction, right? What do we, when we think about what other people have and wanting it and being this competition, right? Life is so much more about comparing and consuming. Life is so much more than comparing what other people have to what you have and then consuming goods and services, right? Little biblical backup for that. First Peter, it says, 1 Peter 4, verse 10, it says, each one should use whatever gift he has received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. Each one should use whatever gift he received to serve others, faithfully administering God's grace in its various forms. So, whatever gift, right? You guys reading that? Whatever gift he has received, not the gift that someone else has received or be upset that someone is talented in this area and I'm not, right? Should use whatever gift we have received to faithfully serve others in administering God's grace. So an example is in John 6, and I think I've preached this in the last, not in this angle, but in the last 6 or 7 months. I always used to, I just saw Pastor Phil sit down, so I'll pick on him for a second, but I always used to wonder how Phil would preach here for 40-something years, and I was thinking this week, I'm preparing this, and I thought, I think I've preached this in probably the last 6 months to a year, but this is, I've preached almost 150 times here. Isn't that crazy? It's been just like 3 years, like next week, I think, since Pastor Phil and Sherry retired from here. And so I'm sorry, I guess, if that's but I honestly, I was thinking about that. I can't keep track of that many things in my head. So I promise you, if it was at any point recently, it won't be the same as it was last time. So, but this is the story of Jesus feeding the 5,000. This is John 6, verses 1 through 14. It says, sometime after this, Jesus crossed to the far shore of the Sea of Galilee, that is, the Sea of Tiberias. And a great crowd of people followed him, because they saw the signs he had performed by healing the sick. Then Jesus went up on a mountainside, sat down with his disciples. The Jewish Passover festival was near. When Jesus looked up and saw a great crowd coming towards him, he said to Philip, where shall we buy bread for these people to eat? He asked this only to test him, for he already had in mind what he was going to do. Philip answered him, it would take more than a half year's wages to buy enough bread for each one to have a bite. Another one of his disciples, Andrew, Simon Peter's brother, spoke up. Here is a boy with 5 small barley loaves and 2 small fish, but how far will they go among so many? Jesus said, have the people sit down. There was plenty of grass in that place, so they sat down. About 5,000 men were there. Jesus took the loaves, he gave thanks, and he distributed to those who were seated as much as they wanted. He did the same with the fish. When they had all had enough to eat, he said to his disciples, gather the pieces that are left over. Let nothing be wasted. So they gathered them, filled the 12 baskets with their pieces of the 5 barley loaves left over by those who had eaten them. After the people saw the signs Jesus performed, they began to say, surely this is the prophet who is to come into the world. So we have this story. I'm going to grab my bottle of water. We have this story about a small boy who has 5 barley loaves. Right? And 2 fish. So barley would have been not used for bread unless you were poor. You couldn't make bread with exclusively barley. So you'd have taken your pure wheat and you'd have mixed it with barley, right? So this is not a kid who has come from royalty. This isn't a kid who is rich. This is a kid who has just a regular lunch for a regular kid. We have 2 small fish as well. Some scholars would even say it could be they might have been even like pickled fish that you would have, which sounds disgusting, but that you would have like spread on the bread, like to make a sandwich. So this was a lunch for a boy. This was not like, oh, I have lunch for me and my family. This was a small amount of food that Jesus was using. So this young boy's lunch had an eternal ripple effect, right? And so how did this boy make this effect? Well, first he realized that he had a gift, right? It wasn't much. It wasn't impressive, but he had a gift. The second thing he did is he was willing to share his gift, right? He was willing to let that go and share it with others. And then the third thing that he did was he surrendered it to Jesus, right? And we know that in the hands of Jesus, this gift multiplies, right? This gift is made more and more and more and more in plenty. So, as long as my voice will last, we're going to go through three points here about our gifts and talents and how we can use those in the new year. So imagine with me imagine our gifts that we have, like our gifts and talents, as God packing our lunch for us, just like our parents would have as kids, right? So imagine that God has packed these gifts for us. I was going to get you guys lunch sacks and have you write stuff down, but I figured with all the COVID stuff and passing pens and everything, we shouldn't have done that. But make a mental note, right? So think about having this lunch bag and your gifts inside of it are like a lunch that God has packed for you. So we got three courses or three areas. The first one is talents and abilities. Talents and abilities. Everyone, right? Everyone has talents and abilities. Check this out. Ephesians 2:10. It says, "For we are God's workmanship, created in Christ Jesus to do good works, which God prepared in advance for us to do." Some abilities, right? They're very easy to spot. I've put three very easy examples up there. Bobby Flay on your left, he is very obviously a talented chef, right? He's got tons and tons of money just from cooking food while people film him do it. That's pretty awesome, right? Easy to spot. In the middle is Katie Ledecky, decorated Olympian. She's an incredible swimmer. It is no secret, right? And then on the right, the late B.B. King, it is no secret that he is incredible on guitar and was a, you know, very talented blues musician, right? So some abilities are very, very easy to spot. You think, you hear B.B. King play guitar and you're like, wow, that guy is talented, right? But others, they're not as out there, right? They're not as in the forefront. And so while we all might not be the greatest cook or swimmer or guitarist or fill in the blank, right? We could be very artistic and creative, right? And some of you are. Or maybe you're very mechanically inclined. Or maybe you're a problem solver. Or maybe you have the gift of gab, right? Like Austin, you can just talk to anybody, right? Everybody's your friend. And really, that is a gift. Not everybody has that, you know? You can just go up and you've never met a stranger and you can talk to anybody and make anybody feel included, right? Maybe you are a talented cook like Bobby Flay. You just haven't hit your break yet. You know, it'll come, right? Maybe you're a musician and you serve here already. Maybe you're a welcoming host, right? Maybe your gift is hospitality. So there's lots of things, and this is a short list, and this list could go on and on and on. We could literally spend the rest of our time just talking about all the different kinds of gifts and talents. But, you know, you might fit in on here or you might have something else. But the point is that everyone has a gift or talent given by God. So when we feel like our gifts don't compare, Psalm 139 says, "I praise you because I'm fearfully and wonderfully made. Your works are wonderful. I know that full well. I praise you because I am fearfully and wonderfully made." So when we look at those who seem crazy talented and you know, better than us or however it makes you feel, we know that God fearfully and wonderfully made each one of us, right? And each of his works are wonderful. So everyone has a gift and talent. Rick Warren, he's the pastor at Saddleback in California. It's only like the biggest church in the country. So if you don't know him, that's who he is. But he has a quote. It says, if you are good at designing, recruiting, drawing, organizing, if you are good at those things, then it is a safe assumption that God's plan for your life includes those skills somehow. God doesn't waste ability. He matches your calling with your capability. Interesting, right? God doesn't waste ability. Why? Because you're fearfully and wonderfully made, and he gave that ability to you. So, he matches your calling with capability. Awesome. So God has placed talents and abilities first in your lunchbox. That's the first course. He expects you to use and to share them. So that's the question. Are we going to use our talents and abilities in 2022? Are we going to use them and share them? Course number two. He's given us spiritual gifts. So if you are a Christian and you've decided to follow Jesus, when that happened, you've been given spiritual gifts as well. Oh, of course that happened. Romans 12, 6 through 8. Oh, I got it, Lawrence. I got it on my phone. I'll just read it real quick. We have different gifts according to the grace given us. If a man's gift is prophesying, let him use it in proportion to his faith. If it is serving, let him serve. If it is teaching, let him teach. If it is encouraging, let him encourage. If it is contributing to the needs of others, let him give generously. If it is leadership, let him govern diligently. If it is showing mercy, let him do it cheerfully. So, oh, there they were. Just the first one messed up. Yep. You're welcome. So, we all, if we've decided to follow Jesus, right, if you are a Christian, you have a spiritual gift. And Paul just went through some of them. There's actually four main passages in Scripture that kind of talk about these spiritual gifts that we receive from the Holy Spirit. And this is not all of them, but it's the gist of it. So you have administration, giving, mercy, evangelism, discernment, helping, knowledge, hospitality, faith, pastoring, leadership, encouraging, wisdom, and teaching, right? And it's important to know what these gifts are, right? It's important to know what gifts we have. If you ever had a teacher that did not have the gift of teaching, it's not fun, right? It's not a good time. It's important. It's important that we know where we are spiritually and where our gifts lie. So if you don't know, there are actually tests you can take. And I'm looking at Brian up there. I know Brian and Danny Barrett, Brian Cowden and Danny Barrett both have a test that's floating around that's a very good one. But if you truly look at that list and think, man, I don't know where I fit in on that. There are biblical scholars that have made these tests so you can kind of find out and get in that right direction, because God truly wants us to be using these spiritual gifts. He didn't give them to us to not use, right? So there are actual tests you can take. So God has given you a spiritual gift or more, right? A spiritual gift or two or three or four of them even. Are you willing to share it? Or are you willing to find out what it is? So I'm going to keep my distance today after service, obviously. But find Brian and ask him about that test. And Danny, if they're still in the hospital. But Teresa's doing better. Praise God for that. I would assume they'll be back in a couple weeks. Talk to either one of those guys. They have a really good test that they have to share with you. So third course. Third course is passion. All right, and this one's kind of a weird one, and it'll get even weirder if you look at the Greek. The word is called splanchna, right? Splanchna. Everybody say splanchna. It just means guts. Isn't that weird? It just means guts. Splanchna means guts. When you pair it with the word zomai, splanchna zomai, it means moved in your guts, which, you know, it sounds kind of gross, doesn't it? But what moves you? What's at your core? So other ways, or I guess, so if you were to ask Jesus, right, what he was passionate about, we could go to Scripture and we could find that Jesus was passionate. What moved him, what, you know, got his blood flowing, was helping people who were hurting, right? So in these two stories we see The one on the left is Jesus healing the man that was born blind. The one on the right is Jesus with the lepers, right? In both of these stories, we see this splanchnazomai pairing, right? Jesus saw them, and emotionally, in his core, in his guts, he was moved, right? He was passionate about helping these people. So that's the kind of passion we're talking about. What moves you at your core? What do you wake up thinking, man, if only I could get after this problem, you know, or if only only this could be something I could get after, right? What gets your blood flowing? What gives you chill bumps or goosebumps, right? These are all kind of just different ways of saying that. What moves your guts? I think I like that better. God has given you a passion. Are you willing to share it? And you know what that is. You don't have to take a test to figure that out, right? You know what you're passionate about. And it's no mistake that that's the case, right? God has given you that. And this year, he wants you to use that. So each of these areas have an eternal ripple effect, right? Just like this little guy's lunch 2,000-some years ago, right? We still see the effect. And truly, it had an eternal effect. Did you see the end of the scripture that we read? And all these thousands of people said, okay, surely this guy is the prophet to the world, right? This is it. This is Jesus. Because this little kid was willing to share his lunch, right? To share the gift that he had, as minimal as it was, some bread, some fake bread, right? And pickled fish. And saved thousands of people, right? Had an eternal effect. So think of what more you could do with the gifts that God has given you. So we need to know what gifts God has given us, right? We need to know what they are. We don't need to spend time wasting time on what God hasn't given us, right? So take this for example. A soccer ball at my feet is worth about $24.99, right? The cost of a soccer ball. That's about what it's worth. But you put it at the feet of Cristiano Ronaldo, it's worth about $100 million, right? Plus a huge platform and advertising and all this other stuff. Same thing with a tennis racket. I can kill a lot of hornets with a tennis racket, right? And so can you. Anybody can, right? You're going to get stung too, though. But in the hands of Roger Federer, it's like more than a dozen Grand Slam titles, right? It depends on who's holding, right, said object. Works in the Bible too, right? A stick in my hands, I can play fetch, I can whack somebody. But in the hands of Moses, right, parts the Red Sea. It's the same with this little dinky lunch. Right? Depends on who's holding the lunch. In the hands of this little boy, it's just some poor person's bread and fish. But in the hands of Jesus, it's food for 5,000 plus people, right? In the hands of Jesus, it's multiplied and it's used over and over and over again. It all depends on who's holding the gift. So, God has given you talents and abilities. He's given them to you at birth. Things that you're good at, things that you excel at. Those are God-given things. Accepting Jesus, you receive spiritual gifts. He's given you, the Holy Spirit has given you one of those gifts that we've talked about. And God has wired you to be passionate about certain things. He's wired you to be, to lean towards one thing or another in the way of helping people, in the way of making the world a better place, in the way of bringing his kingdom about. God has wired you to be passionate about things. This is what we're going to end on. It's an old Danish proverb. I really, really like it. It says, what you are is God's gift to you. What you do with yourself is your gift back to God. What you are is God's gift to you. Isn't that incredible? When we look at other people's stuff, when we're checking out what other people have for lunch, when we're looking at somebody else's house and car and situation and money, you, right? Who you are what you are made up of is God's gift to you. And then what you do with it is your gift back to God. So are we gifting God back jealousy and envy? And why didn't you get me, you know, why didn't you give me somebody else's talents and somebody else's gifts? Are we giving him back, here's my talents and abilities, here's my spiritual gifts, here's my passions, use them, right? Use them for what you see fit to bring about your kingdom here. Would you pray with me? God, we just want to surrender our gifts to you this morning. We want to surrender our gifts and our talents, God, our spiritual gifts that you've given us, our passions. God, help us to sort through those things this morning. Help us to pursue and chase after what you've given us and not what you've given somebody else. God, help us to be not just content, but proud of who you've made us to be. Help us to find out what those spiritual gifts are. Help us to put them to work. God, we have a whole year minus 1 week ahead of us. God, just help us not to waste this time, this opportunity that we have. There's no way to thank you for sending your son to die on the cross so that we could not just live in your grace, but God, you've gifted us with talents, abilities, passions, spiritual gifts. Help us to use those, just like what we read today. Help us to use those to administer your grace upon others. God, go with us as we leave this place today. Help us to just surrender what we have to you. And you will multiply it because it's valuable. It's in your son's name we pray. Amen. The band's going to sing a song. You guys are more than welcome to come to the altars. You know that, I think, by now. But if God's been speaking to you, just encourage you to take this time to kind of deal with whatever you need to deal with. Just take this time to reflect and really lean into what those gifts and passions are. Would you stand and sing with us?